Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would hear your word and it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. And as you are being seated, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, which if you are borrowing one of the new Pew Bibles in front of you, that's page 948. Romans chapter 12. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Let love be genuine. Or more literally, just genuine love is more literally what it says there. And this little phrase, genuine love, is not just one of the whole bunch of things that are listed here of things to do. It's essentially the title of the whole section read today. It's a bit as if Paul said, genuine love, colon, and then listed what it looks like the rest of our reading. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Your Bible probably has a title at the top of this section, something like Marks of a True Christian, and that's absolutely fine. But Paul's title, if you will, for this section is genuine or sincere love. That's what this section, that's what this reading is about, genuine love. Genuine, sincere, or literally unhypocritical love. And so what does this kind of sincere love look like lived out by Jesus' followers? And that's his message for us today. And it is important to remember that our love for each other, which he talks about in our reading today, is a continuation of our spiritual worship, of offering our bodies as living sacrifices. This is chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we talked about 2 weeks ago. In view of God's great mercy for us, we follow Jesus' example of showing sincere love to us. We follow his example by showing sincere, genuine, honest love to one another. In response to what God has done for us, by pouring out his love for us in Jesus, we then love one another. 2 weeks ago, before Hurricane Irma showed up, we looked at some of the basics of what that sacrifice, what our worship to God in this way looks like in response to God's great mercy for us in Jesus. And we talked about the fact that our worship, our living sacrifice to God, our sacrifice to him is living. We talked about that having to do with this ongoing, day after day, constant life of worship to God. We said that it's holy and acceptable. And we emphasized the piece of that having to do with it being costly to us. Living holy and acceptable lives in the midst of a broken world will not be easy. It will cost us something to do so. And we talked about the fact that it is bodily. It's not just something we think, but it is actually something we put into practice, something that we do. And today we see that piece of it drilled down a bit deeper. We see what that living sacrifice to God fleshed out a bit more can look like. And as we see, part of how we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, as an act of worship to God, is through loving one another well. Part of our worship is lived out and enacted in showing sincere love for one another in our common life together. And so let's look at three things that our passage shows us about this kind of sincere love that we as the body of Christ are called to display for one another in response to what God has done for us. So first, sincere love unites. Sincere love unites. Verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another. Sincere love unites us together. We share with each other's joys and sorrows, and genuine love brings harmony together. And one of the common words used for our love for each other in the Bible is this one, this love with brotherly affection. You actually know this word whether you know it or not. This is the word Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. This is the word. As Christians, we are called to love one another as brothers and sisters, not as just some sort of theoretical exercise, but in actual practice. I know, unfortunately, that there is pain and strained family relationships within every family. That's part of family life involving sinners like us. I know that estrangement between siblings is far too common. But I think we all, at some level, at least have a sense that family relationships are supposed to be the most fundamental sort of human relationships that we have. We sometimes speak of someone as being like family, or just simply, he's family. And of course, what we mean is that that person is so close and the bond is so unbreakable that he or she is family to us, whether it's biological or legal or not. We know that family is supposed to forgive us and accept us when problems arise. Family, when functioning properly, is the group of people who know all of our stuff and still accept us. Family is the place where people have seen our highs and our lows, seen us at our prettiest and at our ugliest, and still we have a place. And that, Paul says, is the image of what the church is to be like. We love each other sincerely and genuinely, and as we do that, it will unite us together as a true family in the faith. Genuine love, sincere love, unites us in Jesus. I remember one of the clearest moments in my life of seeing that kind of sincere love that unites us together in the church in a very personal level. A man at the church where I worked at that time came into my office and told me some very serious concerns that he had about something in the church. And he was quite angry with me. And shall we say, he expressed that anger. And to be honest, part of what I had to do was then have a chance to respond and help acquaint him with some of the facts of the situation that he did not know, and what I had and hadn't done and those sorts of things. But he let me have it. And then he let me respond. And it was a tough conversation. I don't really like doing that, but it was respectful, and it ended on okay terms. And then he hugged me. To be honest, at that moment, that was the last thing I wanted. I just needed to calm down from a heated discussion and the misinformation about me that had been shared and acted on. And when he hugged me, I saw true brotherly affection. Not warm feelings at that moment, probably either direction, but honest, mature, sincere love for me that an honest discussion and heated discussion wasn't going to break. That maturity and care that that man showed me in that moment was moving. It wasn't some sort of forced, hypocritical, I guess I'm supposed to hug you because you're my brother kind of thing. And honestly, it had nothing to do with the hug itself. But in that moment, I experienced brotherly affection from my brother in the faith that was committed to me as family. Church, we are called to love one another with brotherly affection, the kind of brotherly affection that we've received from Jesus that we then love each other with. To love one another with the kind of unrelenting commitment that characterizes a family that sticks together. Now, of course, at a fundamental way, this means we need to be together. We can't sporadically interact with each other once in a while every couple of months when we decide to go to church. Showing brotherly affection towards each other means we need to be committed together in worship and in life. And it also means that if there is someone in this room that just drives you up the wall, if you're laughing, you probably had someone come to mind, then love that person with brotherly affection. Do good for that person. You are not to leave. You are not to talk about them behind their back. You are called to love that person as a brother or sister. Stick with them, stay committed to them, and seek nothing but their good. In view of God's great mercy shown towards us, we offer ourselves as an act of worship and showing great mercy and love towards others, as Jesus has for us. Sincere love unites us together in the faith. Second, sincere love goes low. Sincere love goes low. Verse 10. Outdo one another in showing honor. Verse 16, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Verse 13, show hospitality. Outdo one another in showing honor. Associate with the lowly. Show hospitality, or show hospitality more literally, is pursue showing love for strangers. Sincere love, like that which we have been shown by Jesus, goes low. As Jesus himself said, he didn't come to be served, but to be the one who did the serving. He didn't come to serve, but to serve. He, Jesus, the King and ruler of the universe, takes this path of love, humbling himself to serve others and save us in his love. That is sincere love. Go low and be humble and serve others, not seeking to be honored, but to serve and honor others. Outdo one another in showing honor. Imagine a marriage in which both parties are absolutely committed to going low and putting the other's needs and deep desires ahead of their own. No one's getting walked on by looking out for the other because both are always seeking the good of the other. Imagine a congregation in which every person is more concerned with putting the needs and deep desires of other people ahead of their own. A place where we show sincere love for each other by supporting and encouraging and even deferring to one another out of love and respect, and because we follow the example of Jesus. Where our desires and needs matter, they do matter, but we focus on ministering to and caring for the needs of others. It's sort of they come under us while at the same time we're coming under and supporting them while they're coming and supporting us and we're coming and supporting them. And when that happens and when it works, it is amazing. Imagine a church where we pursue radical hospitality. Show hospitality in verse 13 is actually a rather tame translation. Literally, it means pursue love for strangers. Seek out opportunities to love strangers. This isn't actually just invite your friends over for dinner. Do that, but this is so much more. Imagine a family unit, or a church family that goes out of its way pursuing opportunities to welcome and love strangers. We're seeing a bit of that right now, that sort of radical welcome and care taking place following Hurricanes Harvey and Irma around our country right now. And it's beautiful to see that kind of care and love shown for people that we don't even know, caring for those in need. And our message here is that that kind of radical love, going out of our way to show love for strangers, that should characterize the life of the Christian all the time. Church, we are called to follow Jesus' example of pursuing opportunities to show genuine, sincere love to strangers all the time. Sincere love goes low. It doesn't seek our own good, but rather the good of others. It goes low. So we go and look for ways to show love and welcome for strangers and those in need. That's what sincere love does. And third, sincere love can hurt. Sincere love can hurt. Loving sincerely opens us up to being wounded. When we love sincerely, honestly, genuinely, we actually end up opening ourselves up to being hurt, and that is actually just part of it. And I think that opening ourselves up and loving sincerely can hurt us in two main ways, or rather we open ourselves up to being hurt in two main ways. And the first is when our honest, sincere love is rejected by someone. We tried and they slammed the door and shut us out. And I think the other side goes even farther than that, is when our sincere love, which we are called to show, when our sincere love is taken advantage of, when it's abused or trampled, when we humble ourselves and sort of try to come under somebody and they try to squash us instead of reciprocating and showing love to us. Verse 19 talks about that kind of thing happening, so that when our love is trampled, it leads us to even so far as to desire revenge. We're supposed to love sincerely by seeking unity and harmony, by going low and putting the needs of others in front of ourselves, and by trying to outdo one another in showing honor. But what about when the other person does not outdo you in showing honor? Or worse, when you show sincere love and they take advantage of it and push you down, which I think all of us know hurts immensely. Our gospel reading for today from Matthew 18 talks about such a case. Someone who sins against us, and we are not to talk about it with our friends, we're not to harbor anger in our hearts, but we go directly to that person, showing love and honor and trying to be reconciled. And when that works, it's amazing. But as Matthew 18 acknowledges, what was read today, it doesn't always bring reconciliation. And when that love, and it's real love and hard to be hurt and go and deal with it, that's hard work. That hurts in itself. But to go and do that and find out that that love is rejected, or worse yet, abused and trampled on, is immensely painful. But as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are called to show sincere love anyway. Of course, Jesus' love was not received well by most people. His love led him to a cross where he was nailed by people who had rejected his sincere love. And honestly, as we follow the example of love, even when it is not reciprocated, God does something in that. God uses that experience to shape us and mold us more into the image of Jesus. Jesus, who showed sincere love even when it hurt. And I want to be clear, whether it works or not, God does something to us and for us in the midst of obediently showing love even when it hurts. And we really need to grasp this, that God actually, in his grace, shapes us through the experience of having our love rejected. Martin Luther King Jr. used to speak of the redemptive power of unearned suffering. The way that God, in his mercy, shapes us and forms us and uses even the experience of being trampled for our godliness, for God's purpose, and he shapes it and forms us. There's something immensely transformative about trampled love in God's hands. In it, we in our small way are joined in the sufferings of Jesus, whose love was rejected and trampled for us. And we truly are joined with him, even as we experience the pain of our sincere love rejected. I was told recently of a friend, not in this congregation, not local. I was told recently of a friend who knows the immense pain of showing genuine, sincere love. Her husband's multiple affairs were made known, and it devastated her. Over time, out of her love and commitment to Jesus, she was able to forgive her repentant husband and, through God's grace, save their marriage. She didn't pretend it wasn't a big deal. She experienced every ounce of gut-wrenching heartache and anger and betrayal. And God worked in her and her husband very much. And they were reconciled, and their marriage was saved. But her sincere love hurt. But beyond all of that, her extended family wouldn't forgive. They wouldn't forgive him. And because of their unwillingness to forgive him, some of them, some in her family, have completely cut themselves off from her. And so her genuine, sincere, godly love for him has led her own family to disassociate from her, showing deep, painful, sincere, genuine love has opened herself up to experience hurts from all sorts of directions. And yet, she loves, even when it hurts. The fact is, sincere love can hurt. Sometimes we assume that if we just live Jesus' way, it will all work out. The fact is that there is no promise whatsoever that if we love sincerely, everyone will love us back. There is no promise that it will be easier or that our enemies will somehow stop being our enemies. But the call is to continue the kind of sincere, genuine, unhypocritical love of Jesus to undeserving people. Leave the vengeance to the Lord of mercy and justice. Let him take care of that and allow him to shape us into the community of faith that he calls us to be as we love one another sincerely. Sincere love can hurt. In view of God's great mercy for us in Jesus, the way that he has poured out his love for us and his forgiveness on us, we are then to offer ourselves back to him in worship. And part of that worship is the call for each of us to love each other with sincere and genuine love. And as we love like that, we will seek unity. We will constantly try to go low, looking to put the good of others ahead of our own. And we need to acknowledge that loving in this way does in fact open ourselves up to being hurt. And even the hurt is used for God's gracious purposes as he shapes us and molds us into the image of Jesus, who loved us sincerely and suffered and died, and through that suffering brought life to his enemies. Friends, may we be a church that loves sincerely, that is united in brotherly affection, that constantly goes low in service and love for one another, and that loves even when that love is not reciprocated, following Jesus' example of radical love, even for those who hated him. Church, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. In Jesus' name, amen.